where it says you thought of all, sorry, you thought of God above all. And it was originally written, you thought of me above all. That's quite wrong. In fact, it's seriously wrong. Jesus did not go to the cross for you, first of all. He went to the cross for his Father above all. For his Father. That's why he went. And, you know, it's quite important. One of the, perhaps the, I know I'm supposed to speak a little bit about music and worship this afternoon at 3:30. It's a workshop, but I shan't be doing much workshopping on the keyboard. I shall try and say a few principles. Pardon? All right. But one of the things that probably needs to happen if songs are written, they need to be examined as to whether they are conveying truth. And if they aren't conveying truth, then really we need to be those who are bold enough to just adjust them. Because some songs just need a little adjustment. I don't know if you're aware that you retain 80% of what you sing. So if you sing a song regularly, you retain in your memory 80% of it. You retain probably something, the average person, between 35 and 40% of what you hear. And you retain about 55% of what you see. So if you see the images on a video, if you see the images on the TV, then you will retain about 55% of that. But when it comes to singing, it has this peculiar power of enforcing in your memory. And therefore it is vitally important that we sing that which really builds up, that which really is the truth of God. Amen. But it's not about that that I want to speak. I want to carry on from last night. Now, I was seeking to show the the primacy. There's a nice word for you. The primacy of the Word of God. That God broke the silence by his angel and to Zacharias, and then broke the silence in the nation and spoke, didn't he? Wonderfully, he spoke. The Word of God came to John, and that's tremendous. And always you will find that God speaks by his Word. Now, I just want to put your eye in Genesis chapter 1, which is very familiar territory to many of you. You know what that's about. It's about this action of God in the creation, the physical creation. And there we find in the first three verses, we find the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead. And what we find is, in the beginning, God created. Now, you wouldn't know this, but, and I wouldn't know this, but the word in the Hebrew language for God is plural. Isn't that unusual? It's not singular. So the word in verse 1 for in the beginning God is plural. Hard to explain that. It's not explained. It's only later as we go through the scriptures and as God reveals himself through his Son. By the way, his Son was working in the earth and came in certain, shall we say, manifestations on the earth in what we know as the Old Testament era. All right? So Jesus didn't, the second person of the Godhead didn't suddenly appear on the earth 2,000 years ago, but he made appearances, not in the flesh, all right? He never became flesh until in the womb of Mary. But he, at times, I don't know why God ordered it all every time, that these appearances of Jesus are called theophanies. It's a very, you know, that the word for God in Greek is theos, and you know the word theology, all right, theology, it is the word of the study of God. Logi is from the word logos, which means word. So theology is the study, the word about God. And amen. And so a theophany was an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament where he was manifested. Phany is linked to a Greek word phaneros, which means to shine out. All right? And it's, funnily enough, the Greek word from which we get our English word fantastic and fantasy. All right. A fantasy is a shining out, you see. Jesus wasn't a fantasy, but it's, those are just words that have come into the English that are rooted back in the word phanerosis, to the outshining. So Jesus shone out. Now the first place that you see the Word of God, so you've got this Trinity in the verse 1, and then in verse 2 you've got the Spirit of God, and you see him there, don't you? You see the Spirit of God and you see what he's doing. And there is a sense in which the Spirit of God is always doing this. The Spirit of God is doing this today. Again, thinking of songs, did you notice that Melody Green, when she wrote that song, that was Keith Green's wife, when she wrote the song "There Is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's Own Son," and we sing the chorus, we sang it this morning, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son." All right? And she wrote, "Leaving your Spirit on the earth, till the leaving your Spirit till the work is done." Now, many, many years ago, when I first heard that song, I changed that line, you see. You say, well, why did you change that line? You see, the Father and the Son did not leave the Spirit when Jesus went to glory. The Father and the Son sent the Spirit with a new mandate. The Spirit has had a mandate. Everyone knows what a mandate is, don't they? Everyone got that clear, what a mandate is? That is a decree, you could put it a decree, an authorization to do certain things. And when the Spirit came, he came in a fresh, new way, authorized to do things from Pentecost onwards. Up until this day, to do things that he was authorized to do, and the authorization that he had came from the Father, because the Son had now returned to heaven, having finished his work. So the Spirit was sent to do new and powerful work. Hallelujah. Now unto that, the Spirit had been waiting, and here you find him waiting. And he's waiting, and he's brooding, and vibrating is the actual Hebrew word. He's vibrating over in the darkness over the earth. The earth is empty, and the earth is dark, and the earth is covered with waters. And that's the state of the earth. And the Spirit was brooding, waiting. As soon as you think and use the word brooding, we use the word brooding for a hen, don't we? And it means that the hen is going to bring forth something. And that's now the Spirit wanted to bring forth, hallelujah, something. And he couldn't bring anything forth until verse 3. Till verse 3. And he could only bring forth in verse 3 what the Spirit could only bring forth what God said. And there you get the Word, don't you? You get Jesus. In his Old Testament expression, he's the Word of God. Did we sing a song today, or was it last night, or was it yesterday morning, about everything coming through Jesus? So we weren't here yesterday morning, it would have been in EFC. We sang a song, I think it may have been here. There's a song in there about everything is through Jesus. You know, through him, everything's through him. Everything came into being through him. Isn't it that one above all? No, it's not, but it doesn't matter. It's somewhere. But through him. And so the Lord, the Spirit, was waiting for the Word, Jesus. And I want you to know that it's the same today, that the Spirit is here and he is present wonderfully. He is sent into all the earth. So right now, let us imagine in our minds, shall we? Can you use your mind and imagine a tribe? What do you call the tribes here? Well, think about that place that you know as East Malaysia. Borneo, it used to be called. Sarawak and Sabah and so on. You know that we know some as well. I've been to East Malaysia, Kelabit and Ibans and so on. And you know how they were living in their long houses, and some of those tribes were drunk before dawn on rice wine. The men were drunk before dawn. So that in 1920, that is 83 years ago, there was nothing there except people who were in darkness. And their lives were empty. They were void. All right? They were empty. They knew not the truth. And their lives were wasting away. Now, I want you to know this, that the Spirit of God was there. He was there in 1820. For when the Spirit was sent, on the day of Pentecost, he was sent in a special way into all the earth. So he's everywhere. Of course, he's there waiting. So that there, in 1920, he was waiting. You know, God is everywhere in the person of his Spirit. Well, in about 1926 or 8, two Australians came up from Melbourne, young men, and they went into one of the tribes. And they were there about 2 years, seeking to teach the things of God, and they felt that they failed. They brought the word, and they thought they failed. And they managed to commit some of the tribal language to writing and teach a little writing. And they managed to translate, I think it was part of Mark's gospel, into the tribal language. And they left it there. And with hearts that felt they'd failed, they went back to Australia to enlist prayer help and to enlist men and perhaps women to come up there and help. And when they got back, they found a whole long house, a whole group believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had read, that's how the work began among those people. You see, they had left those few bits of paper with something of the Word of God written upon it, and the Spirit who'd been brooding fell upon that Word at the right time and quickened it into the hearts of those people and brought faith and repentance and regeneration through the Word. Hallelujah. And that's a tremendous thing for us to understand in our hearts. Hallelujah. That the Spirit waits, broods in dark places, waiting for the Word to come. Hallelujah. I've mentioned the man, and his name's not Benny Hinn, the man whose writings are more in print at this time. In 2003, there are more writings in print of Charles Haddon Spurgeon today than any other Christian author ever. Have you ever heard of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Some of you have. He lived, he was saved as a young man of 15 years old under a terrible conviction of sin. He was saved in 1850. He died when he was about 56. He had a mega church before they were ever heard of. Anyway, and when he preached a sermon on Sunday morning, there were newspaper reporters there who took down his sermon, so powerful and clear, so wonderful they were to listen to. Took them down and printed them in the newspapers the next day. Monday morning, you had Charles Haddon Spurgeon's sermon in virtually every daily paper in England. And from those sermons, they made little tracts of his sermons. And these little tracts went into all the world. And there are many stories of men, hard men, diggers, men in Australia, out in the outback, in the 1860s and the 1870s and the 1880s, and they were drunken, they were hard working, they were living out there, and somehow into their hands became one of these little tracts of a sermon of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And the Spirit was there in the outback, brooding, waiting. And as these men, there's many records of this, not just in Australia, but in many countries of the world, where these little sermons, maybe one he'd preached 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, and as they read it, the Spirit of the Lord fell on the word and fell on their hearts, and behold, they believed, they repented, and they were saved. They were delivered. The Spirit was there, you see, waiting. Hallelujah. For when the Word would come. And see, I'm wanting to magnify again the Word of God. The Word preached, the Word spoken, the Word prophesied, the Word, the expression of the heart and the mind of God. That's what the Word is. The Word in flesh is called Jesus. Yes? The Word in flesh is called Jesus. Amen? And so if I go over into Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, I find this is written, God, all right, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. That's how God spoke to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. Just to say this to you, I don't want to spend time on this verse, number one, but God was speaking through to the fathers. All right? Now, there are fathers of the whole of the race of human beings. All right? Noah is the father of all of us in this room. Isn't he? Whether you are, you know, Asian or whatever you are, you know what I'm getting at. Noah is the father of us all. We all come from one of his three sons, don't we? What were their names? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay. And God was speaking through the prophets. That's what it says. In many portions and in many ways. Tell me some of the ways that God spoke through the prophets. He spoke by them in their inner ear, you know, their heart ear. They heard his voice. I've heard his voice like that since I've been in Malaysia, in my inner man. You know, there's scarcely a day goes by where I don't hear his voice in my inner man giving me some counsel, some word, some sound from him. So they would have heard him like that. And sometimes he spoke to them in the outer ear as well. So it wasn't just hitting them inwardly, but it came and hit them in the ear. You know, they heard a voice. Amen? They heard an audible voice. And only once in my life have I ever heard God speak to me in an audible voice. It rang in my heart, and he spoke to me, and I heard it with these ears. And it was a very strange thing he said to me, really. It wasn't It was very, very important to me, and I don't know why he spoke with an audible so that I actually heard it, like the voice of someone. Do you know what he said to me? I can tell you this because it's nothing sort of fantastic. He said this to me, "Read Oswald Chambers." That's what he said to me. "Read Oswald Chambers." I'll tell you, I think one of the reasons why he spoke to me like that was because many years earlier, or some years earlier, I tried to read Oswald Chambers and I gave up. And evidently, God thought I was ready and it was necessary for me to read Oswald Chambers. I think everyone should come to a stage where they read Oswald Chambers. Everyone. And if you want to make a little beginning, you could get a Bible. There is an Oswald Chambers Daily Reading Bible. Someone has concocted together where you read the Bible every day, and if you read it every day, you will read right through the whole Bible in a year, in a sort of program. And every day there's a few sentences of Oswald Chambers fitted in there from some of his writings. Actually, Oswald Chambers never wrote a book. Isn't that amazing? And all his writings, he had a wonderful wife. You know, I'm a very lucky man. I have got some of Oswald Chambers' own books. I've got about 40 or 50 of Oswald Chambers' books. Not things of his writings. I'm talking about books from his library. I know a man who also owns Oswald Chambers' old desk. And anyway, now, as far as I know, I've never got extra special revelation by reading Oswald Chambers' books, and I don't think my friend has ever got extra special revelation by sitting at Oswald Chambers' desk. All right? There is no magic in these things. Hallelujah. But there is honour to a great man of God. And he died when he was 42. What might he have become if he'd have lived on? But God knows, he'd done his work. And he had a wonderful wife who listened to him talk, and she was very skilled at shorthand. So as she listened to him speak, and there were no tapes, cassettes, or anything like that in those days, no CDs or whatever it is, you know, amen, and she just took shorthand notes. Shorthand notes. And brought them all together, and when he died, God put it in her heart and said, "Remember all those notes? Now, begin to send them out. There are people who want to hear." So she began to have them printed and sent them out. It was a faith work all the time. Hallelujah. Wonderful. The Word of God coming. Tremendous, isn't it? And, you know, sometimes, like we're saying here, God speaks with an audible voice, and only once have I heard. Is there another way that God speaks in the Old Testament through the prophets? Now, didn't he speak to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream? Didn't he speak to others in dreams? Did he speak to that wonderful man Joseph in a dream? He spoke by dreams. Hallelujah. Is there another way in which God spoke? Did he speak by visions? Visions are different from dreams. Do you know, In the little church that we are part of in Leeds, I know for some of you to meet like this and have a much more open time of worship is a little unusual and a little strange. It's not strange to us where we come from. And in the little church that we come from, in our meetings, it would be rare for us to have a meeting without a very clear vision coming through, where God speaks some message through a vision. So someone may say, I have a vision, and the leader of the meeting might say, all right, or maybe that's not necessary, and he just begins to speak out the vision. And so everybody can see the vision, and then an interpretation of the vision comes. And usually it's clear and it's edifying and it strengthens your heart. See, these are among the ways that God speaks. He speaks. Because it says in that verse that he spoke in different ways and different portions, you know, different portions he spoke. In other words, you know, I can remember in a church where we were sometimes a brother would get up and he would speak for 40 minutes a message that God had given him. And unfortunately, one of the leaders always thought that if this brother had emphasized one truth for 40 minutes, this brother always thought he must get up and for 20 minutes emphasize the other part to get the balance. You see, I myself think that in the main, this second brother was wrong. Because God, even in our meetings, he can't speak everything in one meeting. So he has to speak and say, emphasize grace to us. Grace, grace. And then if you'll trust him, next week or next month, he'll emphasize truth. Or, if I put it another way, in one meeting and one period, he may be emphasizing man's responsibility. You must respond. You have your part to fulfill. You are to obey. And some of the preaching may be like that, constant, and it may come. Human responsibility. Well, if people will really walk in the Spirit maybe 3 months later will begin to bring messages to you about God's sovereignty and his choice of you. Do you understand me? You see, it's rare, and it's only men who are very, very wise in God and mature who can remotely come anywhere near in one message putting these things. You see, truth is like this. You see, and most of us can only think about this bit of it at one time. And then the Spirit has to move us to this bit. You understand me? And it's only as we grow in the Lord that we begin to be able to move up and down in it all. Am I making myself clear? You see. Glory to God. You see, portions, and that's what that first verse says. Portions of the truth. Amen. So, beloved, if we are moving on in God in our churches, and I want you to know this, if we're moving on, and I'll touch this in more detail later on, probably tomorrow, then in our churches, there it's very likely that God will speak from time to time, not all the time, but he will speak in the voice, word, vision, prophecy, dream even. Yes, Carl Watt wants me to say something about hymns. I will do, but not now. but it's a wonderful thing that God can serve himself of these many means to convey him his word. Hallelujah. And I look down in verse 2 and it says that God in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. Praise God. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Let's just stop a moment on this. He has in these last days spoken to us, and in your Bible there's no personal pronoun. My version has a personal pronoun added, his Son. His Son. But it could just be translated, has spoken to us in Son. Son. Now, in other words, he spoke in earlier days prophets. But now the central thing that God is saying is Son. Son. That's the central thing he says to us in his Son, Jesus. In other words, what does he say about Son, his Son? What does he say in that verse? He picks out something particular about his Son. He is heir of all things by appointment, all right? He's heir of all things. Hallelujah. So you've got something, therefore, to do and understand that you, God is saying to you something. He's saying to you, I want you to be one of my sons. And my sons are heirs. Of how much? Now his Son is the heir of how much? Now see, beloved, we've got to grasp this. Not angels. Alright? Not angels. Angels aren't heirs. They're not God's heirs. Beloved, the Jews are not God's heirs. God's sons are the ones who are appointed to inherit all things. That is your appointment, to inherit in Jesus and through Jesus, with Jesus, all things, to inherit all the creations of God. Hallelujah. To grow up unto responsibility of administering God's creation. You see, this is what God's saying to us. This is your future, your destiny. This is what you are learning now on the earth. You see, God is not now in the days of prophets. In other words, the main thing he's saying to us is not prophet. Now, at this point in time, sons can be prophets as well. Sons can be apostles. It may be that some of them are. Some of them are teachers and so on. But the essential, central relationship is Son. Son. We are his sons. God is saying to us, sonship. Hallelujah. And there's wonderful things we could say about the intimacy of sons in the family. In the middle of last week, we were in a church in some area of Kuala Lumpur, the name of which I can't remember. What's the name of that area where we went? Sri Damansara. And there, one evening, we spoke about two sons, neither of whom really understood that the father loved them and wanted them in the house with him. You know it as the parable of the prodigal son. But sonship, you see, is what the Lord wants us to understand. He's speaking to us in his son. And verse 3, he is the radiance of his glory. And I want you to get this clear. He is the radiance of his glory. He is, what's the next thing? My version says, the exact representation. Now, what does your version say? Express image. Express image. Hallelujah. Express, that doesn't mean to say a fast train. He's not talking about things fast. Alright? Not something fast. He's talking about the exact. The exact image. Now listen to this, beloved, because Adam, along with Eve, was the image of God when God made them. The image. But Jesus is the express image. He's the exact representation. He is what Adam failed to live to. He is more than Adam. More than Adam. Jesus is the exact expression. Hallelujah. Glory. That's why you and I can only know God through the Son. Jesus is the exact image. Praise God. And you and I, we've got to look at him. You know, you go on through this letter and you find that you're told things like this. Consider him. Look at him. Keep your eye on him. Looking unto him. 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 Hallelujah. He is the exact expression of God. And you can see where he is now. He's sat down. It says here, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise the Lord. And here is the word. Praise God. So, the word isn't prophecies unless they are expressing him. Unless it is him. He is the word. Am I making myself clear? You see, the words in the songs have got to come from him, through him. Yes, they've got to be something of him, of his heart, even though they may be talking about you, but they're him. You see, he is the word. Well, praise God. I've got the word of God in my hands. Christ in all the scriptures here. Christ is the sum of all things. Do you know, there are no teachers except, real teachers, except the teacher is in them. Jesus is the teacher by the Spirit. Jesus is the evangelist by the Spirit. He's the sum of all things. Jesus is, listen, the songwriter. He, Jesus, and I'll touch this afternoon, is the sweet psalmist of Israel. Jesus filling David's heart made David write psalms. David was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. You see, Jesus is the express image. He's the Word. Hallelujah. He's God manifested. Praise God. And in my book here, everything is Jesus. He's there. Have you ever read a funny little story? It's not a funny little story, really, but a story about a wicked queen who murdered all of the king's sons, took the throne herself, and one little son was rescued by his nurse. Ever heard this story? And this little son, this kingly son, tiny, very small, was rescued by his nurse, and his nurse kept him hidden in one of the temple rooms for years and years and years, and the high priest knew about it. So there in the temple was this little true son growing up. And then there came the certain time when it was all arranged by the priests and something and everyone else that the little son, now grown, was presented, and everybody shouted, "God save the king!" And this wicked queen came on the scene and said, "What's going on?" And then she got the chop. She got killed, the wicked queen, because the true king had come up who'd been in the temple. Hallelujah. That's a story of Jesus. Jesus, the little seed. Jesus, the little king, hidden in your heart. You understand? Jesus, the one in the church, who's the key to the church, the Lord of the church. The church is the temple of God. To know Jesus rising up in their midst, growing. If I can put it that way, he doesn't grow, we grow in the knowledge of him. That's the truth of it. Jesus isn't doing any growing now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's us that grow into the knowledge of who's in us. Amen. So the wicked queens are all slain. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus Christ in all the scripture. Amen. And everything focusing on him. And that's the lovely thing. You see, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up." And I'm thinking now, as I stop for this session, I'm thinking of those men who went in to Sarawak, into that village, and they took the word of Christ. And they left a few pages about Jesus. And it was enough for the Spirit to take and apply into the consciences of darkened men and women. Oh, the power of the Word in the hands of the Spirit. Oh, the power of the Word to change you. Oh, the power of the Word to deliver you. Jesus, in the power of the Spirit being made real in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He, beloved, is the gift of God to us. Praise the Lord. Oh, the power of the Word concerning Christ. When the Spirit comes and takes that Word and applies it to your conscience. Amen. Bringing Him near. Wonderful Holy Spirit. He was at Calvary, was the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. He was at Calvary. He knows all about it. He can apply Calvary to you. He can apply the victory of Calvary right into your heart. He can make Calvary, Christ crucified, real in you. You see, that's the. But he can't do it unless the Word concerning Christ is brought to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard the story of a man named Samuel Baldwin? That's his name that he became known. He was a black man living, I don't remember where, Nigeria, Guinea or Sierra Leone or somewhere. And he didn't know anything about God at all. He was just an animist, a pagan. And he had a great light shine around him. One day in the bush, in the jungle. Great light shine around him, and all he knew by this great light was that it was white, and he had to go where the white men were. And so he made his way to a seaport in his country. This is back over 100 years ago. He made his way to a seaport and he stowed on board a ship bound for New York. And having arrived at New York, he came out of the ship and was just wandering the streets. And he wandered past a mission, place where the... And he overheard singing, and as he put his head in the door, a man started to speak of Jesus. And immediately he heard, he knew that this Jesus was to do with this light that had appeared unto him. And in the space of 5 or 10 minutes, as he heard of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord fell on him, saved him, changed him, showed him that he was called to serve this Jesus. It all happened like that. Hallelujah. The Spirit was just waiting. You see, wasn't the Spirit working and brooding over him in the ship? Yes. Wasn't the Spirit working in that bright light? Yes. But none of it was any good to Samuel until he heard the Word concerning Christ. And his love and his grace and his death and his resurrection. He didn't have to understand all the meanings of it. He just heard the Word. Express image of God's person. The exact thing. Hallelujah. And that man, Samuel, became a missionary of Jesus after that. Tremendous, isn't it? Amen. Amen. I'm wanting to encourage you to see God's ways, the Word, and we'll apply it further a little later on. Lord, thank you that we live in days of light, not darkness. When the Spirit is at work and the sound of your voice is heard after winter. Hallelujah. We thank you that the winter is past. Lord, the time when everything's dark and dead is gone. Lord, and it's spring and the time of your voice. You're speaking. Jesus, we open unreservedly to you and ask you to speak right in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.